If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and Paul has been talking, let's take a look back just a little bit to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because there's something Paul was talking about here that relates to where he's going in chapter 2. If you want to look back to chapter 1 and down to verse 21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And he's going to be talking more about this wisdom of God. So he's going into that in chapter 2. And he says here, as he begins in chapter 2, verse 1, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." Now, Paul realized, we just went through the book of Romans, and you saw the deep understanding that Paul had of the doctrines. So he could have really come and blown the people away with his intelligence, with his eloquence. And he said he didn't focus on those things at all when he came to tell them about the Lord. He says in verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So a couple of things here. Paul said he didn't come with a couple of things. He didn't come with eloquence, and he didn't come with superior wisdom. Now, it's interesting if you think about this. When you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you know how you got there, how you got right with God, you know enough right then to be able to share that news with someone else. Because the gospel is that simple. The Lord intentionally made it that simple. Now, I know if you talk to a lot of Christians, and maybe some of us here would say, "Well, I don't ever talk to anybody about the Lord because I don't know enough." Well, Paul said here, he kept the message very simple. He said, "I simply told them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And he left it at that. So this is to encourage you and me that you don't have to go to get your master's degree in theology or something before you say, "I can talk to somebody about the Lord." It is not our eloquent speech, it's not our superior wisdom that get people saved. It's the simple message of the gospel. So to me, this is extremely encouraging that we don't need these things. We don't need eloquence, we do not need superior wisdom to tell someone about Jesus Christ. So just know this is a great principle from the Word of God right here. The gospel is so simple. You don't need to have your big degrees. You know, you don't have to be Billy Graham to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You simply have to know Him yourself. That's the only qualification, really. If you know how to get there, you can tell someone else how to get there. And if someone says to you, "I don't know the way, how can I know how to get to heaven or get right with God?" The answer is real simple. Jesus said He is the way. So you simply are telling them about Jesus. So I love this passage of Scripture because Paul really makes it easier for us to talk to people about the Lord. And it's really encouraging to me. So he says, "When I came to you, I didn't come with those things." And he mentions at the end of verse 1, in case you were wondering what that was talking about, he says, "As I proclaim to you the testimony about God." You might have the word mystery of God or something to that effect. The idea is the good news. And that's what he's saying. "When I brought the good news to you people, I didn't come with all the fancy stuff. I came with a very simple, direct message about Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And he mentions the crucifixion in there because that's the whole reason for the whole sacrifice of Jesus. That His sacrifice would be made for our sins, and that God would receive that sacrifice and accept it. And the resurrection proves to us that God accepted the sacrifice. So if you get to Jesus and the resurrection, you've covered everything. Okay? Because you've explained, well, why did He die? If someone would say that to you, well, why was He raised from the dead? Why did He die? Well, the answer is because of our sins. So if you just keep that simple message there, you have everything someone needs to know in how to get right with God. Okay? So that answer is right there. Now he mentions as he goes on in verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And this is something for us to do, okay? We need to make a resolve in our life that we're going to tell someone about Jesus and Jesus only. All right? Now, I just say this because it's easy to get off track. Okay? I know of people who love to argue creation with folks. They love to do the creation-evolution debate. And I'm talking about trying to work with a lost person over that. Well, you know, that might be an interesting discussion, and it might be exciting for you to get into those things. But if that person doesn't know Jesus Christ, it doesn't really matter what he believes about creation or evolution. Okay? When you stand before the Lord at the day that we have to be before Him, He's not going to say, where do you believe on these things? I'm going to give you a test. You know, do you believe in creation? And go down this list. He's going to say, do you know my son Jesus? That's what we're going to have to answer to. So I'm just cautioning us here. Make a resolve. As Paul said, I came to you people and I was determined. I made a resolution in my life that I was only going to tell you about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, don't get off the subject, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Paul came to these people at Corinth here, and he told them about Jesus. And he said, when I came to you, that's all I was bringing. I just wanted to make sure you heard the true good news, the true gospel, Jesus. And he was crucified, and he was raised again. So, he brings all that in. And lets us know that was the message he said, that's what I'm bringing to you. I'm going to be careful to just bring that message. Now, think about the area where they're in. In Corinth, they're in the middle of the Greek culture, okay? So the Greeks were really into wisdom. That's why we looked at that last chapter, chapter 1. Because they wanted to know something really smart, wise, and everything else. And if you go on that level, you know, the Lord says that's not where you're going to find God's wisdom. God's wisdom is found in that simple gospel message. That's why Paul was talking about that in chapter 1, and now he's continuing to talk about it in chapter 2. You know, you think about the gospel, and it is so simple that a little child can understand it and receive Christ. And yet, it's so complex, too, that you can dig into that understanding the rest of your life and still find out new things about it. That's why we went through the book of Romans and went kind of detailed in some of the discussion of salvation. Because Paul really opens it up to see that God covered everything, you know. No matter what angle you look at it, God took care of that. You want to come at it from the legal side. Legally, our sins can be forgiven because someone else paid for the crime. You know, so no matter which direction you look at it, God covered that. It's a simple message, but it's complex and everything that it takes care of. So the Lord tells us in this passage that this is what's really important. This is what we bring to people, is the simple message about Jesus. I like to look at it this way too, that we're really just introducing people to Jesus. You know, when you go talk to someone, you're introducing them to someone that you already know. It's just like someone else, and I might introduce you to my wife, or we might introduce you to someone we know. Same thing. I know Jesus, and I want to introduce you to Him. And this is a reminder for us, because we need this once in a while. You know, we forget that it's not a philosophy we're giving to people. It's not a religious belief system. We're presenting the person of Jesus to people, because He's the only one who can save them. It has nothing to do with what our doctrinal system is, or what your belief system might be on some other philosophy or whatever. It's only on the person of Jesus. So God brings us back to the simple truth here. We got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll go a little further in that same passage. It says in verse 3, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now, can you imagine, this is the mighty Apostle Paul that we read about in the book of Acts. Everything he has gone through, everything he has done, where he was saying, I want to go to a new city where they've never heard about Jesus. I want to go there, and I want to be the first one to tell them about Jesus. Okay? This is that kind of brave Apostle Paul who went out and did those things. And yet Paul tells us what was really going on inside of him. He says here, when I came to you, I came in weakness, I came in fear, and I came with much trembling. Now, that comforts me, because has anybody here been afraid to tell someone about Jesus? Have you felt that pressure? And you said, I'm afraid. You know, I don't know if I really want to do this, because I might get mocked, I might get laughed at, I might get ridiculed, I might get put down, and all those thoughts go through our mind. Well, guess what? Paul said that he had fear also. And yet, look how the Lord used him. Okay? So it's an encouragement to us to don't worry about it. When you think, man, I want to talk to this person about Jesus, but I'm kind of afraid, go ahead and do it anyway. Don't worry about the fear. Because Paul said he just went past it anyway. And I hope you've done that before. I know when I have a chance to talk to somebody about the Lord, I have that concern inside of me, that fear that kind of wells up, like, do you really want to do this? You know? Then the enemy starts throwing those doubts in your mind too. And you start thinking, oh, this person doesn't want to hear it, or whatever statement he might throw in your thinking there. You know? All those thoughts come. Well, when that's going on, just go past the fear. Just go do it anyway. And I can tell you what's on the other side, and I'm sure Paul experiences too. Once you start talking, the peace of the Lord comes in, and he just takes over. You know. So as you're talking to someone, you might have started out in fear, but to me, I've noticed that all of a sudden it just starts flowing, and I'm talking and not even worrying about the fear anymore. There's a real peace that comes. So I'd encourage, if you have that, just step past it and just keep going. Because I found this, a lot of times, the Lord is laying on your heart to talk to someone. You know, think about it. You know all the distractions you have through the day, all the things that run through your mind as you're doing your job or going to the store or whatever you're doing. You have as many things running through your mind as I do. And sometimes we might be in a place and all of a sudden the thought comes to you about the Lord. And you might need to stop and think, why is that thought there? And the chances are it's probably the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to talk to someone, you know. So I've done this at the shop where I'm working now. If there's somebody in my chair and all of a sudden the thought comes, you know, about the Lord, I'm thinking, uh-oh, maybe this is a person the Lord's trying to work on here. So then I'll start trying to pray and I'll start to bring something up. And I like the way one of the guys at the Monday Night Bible Study, you know, he's an evangelist. And he said, yeah, it's kind of like fishing. You're throwing out bait, you know, and seeing if anybody's going to take the bait. So I'll bring something up about the Lord, you know, just kind of a general statement just to see how they respond to it. And if they respond, you know, they open up a little bit to it, then I go further. And I learned that from Jesus, you know, because Jesus did that. You'll notice that when you watch him through the Gospels, he will say something, and if the person responds, then he gives them more. And if they keep responding, he keeps leading them and giving them more. But when the person stops, then Jesus stops. You remember the rich young ruler that walked away. Jesus kept giving him things, and all of a sudden it said he walked away sadly. And you didn't see Jesus chase after him, you know, tackle him and say, no, don't leave, you know, say the sinner's prayer before you go or something. Jesus let him walk. He let him walk. And that's hard for us, you know, if we want a desire to see somebody get saved that fast. Sometimes we just have to stop. You know, like I said, you watch Jesus. If you have any questions about that, go through the gospel. Read through the gospels and check them out. And watch how Jesus, he would throw something out to see if they would take it, kind of like throwing out the bait. If they took the bait, then he kept going. One of the great passages to see that is John chapter 4, because you have the woman at the well, as we call it, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus did that with her. He kept feeding her, and she kept coming. And all of a sudden, she got to the point where she found out he was her Messiah, and she got saved. So it's a cool thing to watch how the Lord does that, and we can learn from that too. Like I said, now, if you're out somewhere and that thought comes about the Lord, that's probably the Lord saying, I need you to talk to this person, or I'd like to use you to talk to this person. And we have a great privilege to say, man, I might be able to carry this seed excuse me, and deliver it to them. So keep that in mind. You might have that happen this week. So be aware that the Lord might be setting you up this week to use you in a great way to help somebody else find out about the Lord. So Paul said that he had that weakness and that fear and that trembling also. So you're not alone in that. Don't think that you're by yourself. Then in verse 4, he said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. And your translation might say it a little differently there, but it's the same thought that he's saying, I didn't use great words of wisdom. I think Paul was being very careful not to do that in that culture because their philosophers were big on that stuff. They liked to show off about how deep they were in their thinking and everything. So Paul just went right past that. He was saying, I'm not trying to trick you or make you say, wow, this is really something to get into. No, he was pushing all that aside because he wanted them to feel God's power drawing them to God. And that's what he was shooting for. He said he didn't even use persuasive words. You know, this is a tough one, Because there are times that Paul said, I have compelled you, you know. So he's saying, I kind of almost tried to drag you across the line to get saved here. But there are other times like this where Paul said, I didn't even use persuasive words. I simply put the message out there about Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And you know what I found? To me, this is the most awesome thing, that I can have peace knowing that I take the Word of God and I just put it out there. You know, it's kind of like we're setting the table with food, and if people want to take it, the aroma is there, the food is there, they can see it, and they just have to reach out and take it. And that is so cool, because see, you and I are not the Holy Spirit. We can't force somebody to do that. We can't force them to take the gospel message and put it in their heart and get saved. You know, we might wish we had that power, but we don't. The only thing we can do is to carry the message faithfully, deliver it, you know, to whom the Lord leads us to. Matter of fact, Jesus said you can tell every creature, because that's what He commanded us in the Gospels, every creature in the world, every person. So we have the opportunity to carry that message, and then we put it before them, you know, and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to work and that someone's going to receive that message. But it takes all the pressure off of us. You see, I'm not responsible if I don't personally get to lead 10 people to Christ this year. I am not responsible for that. I am responsible for getting the message out there. Okay? You see the difference with that? So I can't make anybody get saved, although I wish I could. I wish I could just push the button, you know, and a person would jump up and down and say, I want to receive Christ, you know. But I haven't found that button yet. I don't think we can see it. Only the Holy Spirit knows where that is. But what we can do is be sensitive to the Lord's leading. A lot of times I've noticed this too, just to hopefully encourage you on this. When I start to talk to somebody, a lot of times things pop in your head that you're not even thinking about. And you just say those things, you know, because that's the Spirit leading. I prayed this way before. Maybe this will help you with prayer too. Lord, please speak to that person's heart, because you know what they need. I have no idea what that person needs. But please speak to the person's heart and use me. You know, if you can, if you want to do that, I'm right here, Lord. Just speak right through me, right to their heart. And I've seen some interesting results from that, because we don't know what's going on in someone's life. You know, people don't wear signs out with everything they're going through. You know, like, I just lost a loved one, or, you know, someone just really disappointed me in my life, or any of those signs. We don't wear them. But the Lord knows everything going on. So just be sensitive. The Lord might lead you to say something sometime that might seem really strange. But the only thing I can encourage you to do is just kind of trust the Lord and pray and say, okay, Lord, I think this is you. I'm going to step out and say this and see what happens. I had a sad instance one time that I didn't follow through with that I should have. I should have known it was the Lord, because it was so far off from what I was thinking. But I was talking to this lady one time on the phone, and I didn't know the lady, but I was calling her to give her a ride to church. And this lady, she said, she'd like the ride, and she lived close by, and that's one of the things we were supposed to do. And anyway, the lady said, just as she was talking, I didn't hear her say anything on this subject, but the thought immediately popped in my head about abortion. And I thought, man, that was weird. I'm talking to this lady on the phone, and all of a sudden, a strong thought of abortion comes in my mind. And I didn't say anything, but I should have, because I didn't know for sure it was the Lord leading me, because it wasn't what we were talking about at all. We're talking about a ride to church, you know, and abortion isn't really something you would think of when you're thinking about coming to church. So it was so far off. Well, I didn't say anything, and I found out a week later that the lady did have abortion between the time I spoke to her and the week afterwards when we actually saw her. So, you know, I don't know what the Lord was trying to do, if He was trying to stop her, to get her to think about it, to bring conviction on her, or what. But I didn't say anything. I wish now I would have. You know, who knows what might have changed. So I just encourage you, if you have thoughts like that that might pop in your head when you're talking to somebody, don't be surprised if it really might be the Lord trying to help that person, and you just happen to be the vessel that's open. You know, say, Lord, I want to help somebody, and the Lord says, okay, we're going to help somebody today. Just follow my lead, you know. So I encourage you, the Lord does work with us that way. We just need to be sensitive to what the Lord's doing. Now notice what He says again in verse 4. My message, my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but what were they with? A demonstration of the Spirit's power. And here's the reason that He wanted the Spirit to work through that. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. See, there are people right now that we can go out in our society, and their belief system is based on some high philosophy. you know. I don't know if you've talked to folks like that, but I have. They've studied all the philosophies and all the philosophers, and they said, I know, I've got an understanding of the universe and all this, and all the stuff you want to tell me, I don't really need to know. I've already checked into that, and they haven't, but that's what they say. But their whole belief system is based on some high philosophy. And a lot of times it might sound too simple to them to say, well, I'm just trusting in Jesus, you know. When they think I've got this high philosophical system, I just trust in Jesus. It's that simple, and yet it's that powerful, okay? Because Paul said, I want that the Spirit to work, so when you believe, it's not because you would say, well, Paul had such astounding wisdom, that's why I put my trust in what he said. No, he wants you to say, I had, when Paul was speaking about Jesus, my heart was just moved, and I had to do something about it. I had to receive Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see a little bit about this power. Look back to Acts chapter 1, just as a reminder. We've gone through Acts before, but I want you to see something. Acts chapter 1, just to remind us a little bit here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told the disciples this, and this message comes down to you and me today. He said, "But you will." This is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." And then he mentions the locations of where they're going to be his witnesses. But notice what he said. Where is that power going to come from? It's going to be the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose of that power? To be his witness. All right. So it's not your power you're trusting in. It's the power of the Lord working through you. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do. You and I can't make a powerful witness like that. The Holy Spirit has to do that. Now look what happens when we do this. When we allow the Spirit to come in and give us that powerful witness. Look over at Acts chapter 2. And look at the end of the message, the very short message that Peter gave. And when you read through the message he gave, it was just such a brief outline of what God was doing to the nation of Israel. But look at the statement in Acts chapter 2, down to verse 36. After everything Peter said, just explaining a quick background of what God's been doing all the way up to the Messiah, he says in verse 36, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, do you see any persuasive words there? Is he saying, you better do something about this? He doesn't say anything. He simply says, this is what God has done. Jesus, the one that you killed, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Look at verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's the power of the Spirit working in them. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now there is a picture of that power. Peter said, no, yes to the Lord. And when the Spirit came and empowered him, he stood up and he spoke and he let the Spirit work through him. And the result was, simply by telling them, this is Jesus. You know, he presented Jesus to them. Their response was, man, what should we do? You know, and that was the Spirit convicting them. Because you don't see Peter giving an outline here of, well, this is Jesus, and this is what happened, and now here's what you need to do, and we got the four spiritual laws or something we're going to give you here. He doesn't go through any of that. He simply presents Jesus before them, and the Spirit worked. Wouldn't it be amazing to find out someday that all the evangelism methods and techniques and everything we've been working on aren't working as well because we've not been putting Jesus out there, you know? We've been trusting in the method. Or we've been trusting in this little formula we've got or something, rather than saying, I'm just going to put Jesus out here and see what happens, you know? Let the Holy Spirit work. Because Jesus said what? You're going to be witnesses of me. You're going to be my witnesses. Not of the Christian philosophy or the Christian doctrine or all these things. He said you're going to be witness of me. So just to me it's refreshing to think all we have to do is bring Jesus, you know, and present Jesus out there and see what's going to happen. You know? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to consider something. Let's look at what Paul has told us here. When he came to these people, he didn't come with eloquence. He did not come with superior wisdom. He said he didn't come with persuasive words. He didn't come with wise words. What he did come with was weakness, fear, much trembling, and the Spirit's power. as he simply told them about Jesus. Now think about this. Paul started churches this way. This is a church that was born because Paul simply brought Jesus to them. With all his fear, with all his trembling, with all his weakness, he simply brought Jesus. And a church was born. So don't think that, oh, that's awful simple message, you know. No, this is all it takes, is to simply tell someone about Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. When you got saved, how simple was the message that you heard when you trusted Christ? I dare say it was probably pretty simple, you know. That's why someone can pick up a Bible and start reading and they can get saved just by reading right here and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once they open up and start seeing the truth of God's Word and Jesus comes to them, and boy, it's all over. They just trust Christ and now they're born again. They have a brand new life. You know, I look back to me when the Lord was working on my heart. The first message I heard was some guy coming into the hospital room where I was a patient at the time. And all he said was, Jesus wants to know you personally. And those words right there just went straight to my heart. And it was like, I have to find out more. You know, because that's all he did. He just brought Jesus in. And that was enough to say, I've got to find out, what in the world is he talking about? So that's where I really credit this guy with those simple words as the one who led me to Christ, even though I didn't receive the Lord in front of him. But he's the first person I remember where those words went straight to my heart and they poked me. And I had to do something about it. Let's go back to our passage then in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't bring a message to mature believers or anything like that. I brought the simple gospel message. And I said, there's a time where I do bring wisdom to people, but it's not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of God. Okay? And he's going to talk about that some more. But he's saying here that it's not that we're bringing a stupid message to you, you know, that it's something that has nothing to do with wisdom. No. This is purely God's wisdom that's being brought. Okay? And he says, man, when you come to know the Lord and you're maturing in Christ, then we really do start bringing out some stuff that's pretty deep. But it's not like the Greek philosophers. It's not stuff that they would wow you with their intellect. This is stuff that's going to get you in the heart. You're going to go, wow, I know that's true. You know, the Lord's really poking me in the heart that this is true. So that's the kind of wisdom he's talking about. He said it's not the wisdom of this age, which would be the Greek stuff. It's not the wisdom of the rulers of this age, who are the big shots and the supposed know-it-alls. He said those guys are coming to nothing. Now let me make a little side note on there, because Paul said the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. Okay. Now we're in election year, so let me just throw that out. That don't get too shook over what you see coming with the election. The Lord already knows what he's doing. He's already got his person that he is going to put in place. It may not be the person that you or I would like to see there, but the Lord has got his person and he will place them there. And if you have any doubts about that, just read the book of Daniel. And you'll see the Lord show you there that he is in control of nations and governments. And he raises up who he wants to raise up, but he puts down who he doesn't want to be there. My only concern is we might get who we deserve. I love it when God puts someone in and we get to experience God's grace for a while. But for our nation, we might really get what we deserve, and that's scary. Okay, so it is election year. Remind yourself, if it's not who you hope for, it said the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. And the day will be where it will all be over. Okay, verse 7 there. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, before we jump into the secret part, I want you to just think about this, what Paul was saying. He said, we're speaking of God's wisdom. Now that's something the world cannot find. And he's going to talk about that. It's impossible for a man who doesn't know God to come up with God's wisdom. That's why you have all these false religions that are out there. And some of them might sound really fancy and they've really done some deep thinking, put some things together, but it's not the real God. Okay? Because man will never find God and his wisdom unless he comes the way God said he has to come. And he has to humble himself to come to the Lord and say, I need Jesus. From there on now, he can find God's wisdom. But until he comes through that door of Jesus, he will never find God's wisdom. And he's going to explain that to us. Now, he said something about this wisdom that is a secret wisdom. And he tells us what he means by that in verse 7. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Do you know that God had a plan for you and me? And the coolest part of his plan, I don't think we even appreciate, is that he wanted to share his wisdom with you and me. Think about that. That's awesome. The God of the universe, the God who's been around forever and who will be around forever, wanted to share his wisdom with us, little human beings that he created. That's an amazing thing. So he says, God had this wisdom, and it's been hidden. The world can't ever find it. It's hidden to them still. Okay, but this wisdom was hidden, and God revealed it. Now, we're going to get it because we have understanding. And he says that in verse 8 as it goes on. None of the rulers of this age understood it. They didn't know what God was doing. They didn't know what God was like. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They did not know that was God's Son when they put him on the cross. They did not know that. They didn't see what God was doing at all. Totally blind to that. Okay? That's why people today can still say things to you and me that are so foolish, you know. That Jesus, you know, he was a good teacher, I'll give you that, but that's all he was, you know. They don't see, they don't understand. They're totally blind to who Jesus really is. So that blindness goes on. Verse 9, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. And the idea is man can never figure this out on his own. What God has prepared for those who love him. And then it says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now notice the work of the Spirit, okay? For the lost person, the Spirit is the one who speaks to the heart and brings them to God. For us as believers, the Spirit is opening our understanding to grasp things that God has for us. Let me say this as we get into this. If you have learned anything from the Word of God, as you open the Bible and you start reading and it all makes sense to you, or as you've been in a Bible study, or you've listened to some messages, if you're getting any of that, it's only because of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason. You're not learning it from man. You're not learning it from your own intellect. You're only learning it as the Spirit speaks to your heart. Now this is so cool. Because you know what? There are times you might be reading the Bible and you might see a passage that you've read who knows how many times before, and all of a sudden you see something in that verse that was not there before. And I know I've done this where I've been reading and thinking, that was not there the last time I read it. I know that was not there, you know. And it was. It's just that the Holy Spirit didn't let me see it until that moment. So don't be shocked too much when you're reading a passage that you know, and all of a sudden something pops out that you didn't realize was there. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, now it's time for you to see this. You weren't ready for this before, but now you're going to see it. Okay? So the Spirit is the one who lets us understand things from the Word. And anything you know about God, the real truth from God that you find it in His Word, is only because the Spirit has opened you and my understanding to actually get it. Because without that, we would never get it. As it says there, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. Without God doing that in our life, we wouldn't have a clue. So be patient with a person who doesn't know the Lord. Because this is where they're coming from. They don't have a clue. Okay? When you have a chance to share Jesus with them, the Spirit has to work on their heart to open it the first time that they can receive Him. Then the Spirit's going to let them see truth. But up to that point, man's not going to get it. And why would God do that? Because man would brag about it. We know ourselves. We would say, yes, I figured this out. And Lord's not going to let you say that. Say, you'll never get it on your own. You have to come the way the Lord said. Now let's go on in verse 10, because he said, God revealed it to us by his Spirit. And now he's going to explain a little bit of this to us. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So you see the importance? If the Spirit doesn't show you, you will never get it. He says, for we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's the reason, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You know, when you look at the Word of God and the Lord shows you things and you're going, wow, Lord, I didn't know you loved me that much. I didn't know you had such an awesome future plan for me that I can spend eternity with you and have extreme joy every moment of my life from that time on. I didn't know that, Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has opened our understanding to see that. God freely wants to give us these things. And let me just say this to you. If you didn't think about this before, God loves you so much, He has an awesome future plan for you. He wants you to be in eternity with Him and just enjoy everything He has. You know, think about Adam and Eve when they were placed in the garden before sin occurred. God made such a beautiful, awesome place for them. And He placed them in the middle of that, you know, and basically said, you know, be busy and till the garden and take care of the place, you know, but it's yours. Enjoy. And He said, you can enjoy every tree that's here except for one. So He made such an awesome place for them because He wanted them to enjoy life. He wanted them to have such a joyful experience of God. And that's what God has for you and me because He loves us so much. So God has given you that for free. What did it cost you? Not a thing. God says, I've given you my son Jesus. You said, okay, I'll take him. And you have Jesus and you get everything else that comes with him. The only thing you did was take Jesus, you know, and say, yes, that's about it. But because the Lord loves you so much, He's prepared such an awesome future for us. And this is what we look forward to. And the Spirit lets us see these things. You know, you open the Word of God, you get in Revelation, you see a few things about the future. New heavens, new earth. God's making a brand new place for us. So someone might say that it's a brand new playground God's going to give you. You know, just go in there and have a great time. Loving the Lord, spending time with the Lord. But that's free. We didn't have to pay for any of that. Jesus paid for everything. So let's go on here in verse 12. It says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. The Spirit is our teacher, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So your translation might say comparing spiritual with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is opening things for us, and He's putting things together. We're understanding spiritual truths and how they relate together and how they all build on each other. And, you know, as we study the Word of God and we see this, we say, wow, this is amazing wisdom. Man could never come up with these things. It is way too amazing. And that's what the Lord is showing us here. You only get this once you know Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. These are the things we're talking about in verse 13. This is what we speak. We're telling you things that go very deep with God. Things that the world will never, ever find on their own. You only find this in Jesus. Okay? So he goes on to verse 14. The man without the Spirit. Now who's that talking about? It's talking about the lost person. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. It's impossible, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, this is why the lost person cannot understand the Bible. You may have heard people say, you know, I've tried to read the Bible, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know why it doesn't make sense? Because the Spirit is not opening it for them, because they haven't come to Jesus. So when you see people that play with the Bible or try to read the Bible or try to bring something out from the Bible, they don't know the Lord. They just don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Spirit's not working there. You find all kinds of wild stuff. You know, cults use the Bible, but they use it wrong. They take a little truth and twist it, and they think it's right. They see that as straight, you know, and it's as crooked as can be. So the Lord's telling us the person who does not have the Spirit in them, they cannot receive these things from the Lord. It's blindness to them because it has to be spiritually discerned. Now I thought this through, and this might help a little bit to understand this. Why can the lost person not understand things that are spiritually discerned? Because they're spiritually dead. It's only when you trust Christ and you're born again that now your spirit is alive. Now you have an open communication with God. You know, we were talking about this before. For the lost person, it's kind of like they might have a telephone, but the line is not connected. There's no connection there. It's only when you get to know Jesus Christ, when you've trusted Him and you're saved, now your phone line is open, and you can communicate with God, and He can communicate with you. But up until that point in time, you've got a phone that's dead. Nothing's going to work. You know, so the Lord tells us here, these things are spiritually discerned. You have to have a spirit that's alive in order to receive them. Now, let me share this with you too. If the devil comes along and tries to make you think someday that you're not saved, here's one quick test you can do. Okay? Because the devil works with us that way, and sometimes I think our flesh even plays that game with us. You might wake up some morning and say, man, I don't know, am I really saved? Ask yourself this question. Do I understand anything from the Word of God? Because if you do, well, there's evidence that your spirit is alive, the Spirit's been working on you. Okay? So there's a quick test you can give yourself. Do I understand things from the Word of God? And the answer, if it's yes, then okay, I trust the Lord. This is just the devil or my flesh messing with me. Okay, so just discard that and throw that out of the way. But if you want to understand the Bible, if you want to know what it's talking about, you have to come to Jesus first. That door has to be opened. Your spirit has to be made alive. Then you can understand spiritual things. Now, verse 15. The spiritual man. Now he's talking about the person who does have the spirit. Talking about a believer. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And what he is saying here is that the spiritual man is able to make judgments. He has learned things from the Word of God. He's understand these spiritual truths. Now he can see things. He can make decisions on things. He can know what's right. He can know what's wrong. But he also says he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Meaning the lost person, when they judge you, they don't know what they're talking about. All right? And that makes sense. You think about it. In God's eyes, we have been completely cleared. We are not a criminal anymore. God has taken our sin. He's removed it by placing it on the cross with Jesus. Jesus paid for it. The crime has been paid. We have now been pardoned. We have a total pardon from our God. That's greater than any pardon you'd get from a governor. Okay? Our God says you're pardoned. You're free to go. And for us, we don't face this judgment of the world anymore. So when a lost person looks at you, and you may have had this happen, you know, they might have said to you, I thought you were a Christian. I can't believe you did that. I thought you were a Christian. You know what? From their perspective, they might think there's something, you know, that you really blew it there. You're really not a Christian. From God's perspective, saying, yeah, that's my kid. I know they messed up, but that's my kid, you know. So you're right with the Lord once you come to Christ. And lost person cannot judge you. They might think they can at times, but they really can't. Okay? Then he goes on in verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, who's smarter than God? Who's able to tell God anything? You know? No one. So when the lost person tries to figure out God or the things of God, they're never going to get it. Okay? They're not smarter than God. And I know you know people like I do who think they are. They think, well, God better do this or God better do that. Well, you don't know God if you're making demands like that. And look at the last statement. This is an awesome one in verse 2, chapter 2. But we have the mind of Christ. You realize the Lord has opened our understanding to see things the way God sees them. As Jesus was able to see things in the world and say, this is right, this is wrong. Because we come to Christ, the Lord is teaching us, the Spirit is teaching us. As that's happening, we're now able to say, as Jesus said, this is right and this is wrong. We can see it now. We may not have seen it so clearly before, but now we definitely see. This is what's right with God, and this is what is not right with God. So the Lord has blessed us in the sense that we have the mind of Christ. We can understand things that the world can't even see. Okay? So that's an awesome thing to thank the Lord for. All right, we're going to stop at this point. I just want to challenge you with a few things here. If we trust in our own wisdom, then we won't even be able to find God. Okay? We've got to trust God's wisdom. And God's wisdom said, you've got to come to Jesus first. So if that's not your starting point, then you're not going to get anything else. Okay? So the Lord says you have to submit to Him first. Now here's a challenge for us as believers too. You know, if we trust in our own wisdom now, even after we know the Lord, don't be surprised if it falls apart on you, you get messed up. We've got to trust in the wisdom God gives us from His Word. And He told us that in Proverbs 3. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on that. That doesn't mean we can't take the wisdom from God and then use that and work with that. But it means the things that you come up with, and if God doesn't agree with that, you better be careful because you're wrong, going the wrong direction. All right? And I say this because I know I heard people say in other places, not here thankfully, but other places I've heard them say, well, I know what the Bible says, but... As soon as they make that statement, they have just taken God's wisdom and said, well, I know what God's wisdom says, but my wisdom says this, you know. And they're so off and so wrong. And these are Christians who have said these statements. So, a challenge to us. We need to always trust in God's wisdom. And hopefully today, if you know Christ, you can say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the mind of Christ. Then I can now see things the way you see them. And see the world through your eyes. Let's pray. Father, you have challenged us today to be able to present Jesus to people. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to just walk past that fear, knowing that it's there and knowing that it's troubling us, just to get past it. Help us, Lord, just to take that step and to bring Jesus. We need you to do that, Lord. We are powerless on our own to do that. We need your Holy Spirit power. Father, if anyone is here today who has never surrendered to you and allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and to fill them and to work through them, please help them today, Lord, to say, yes, I want you. I want that Holy Spirit power to work through me. And I pray, Lord, you'd help them make that decision. And Lord, we want to thank you for the Spirit's work in our life, that you have let us know the truth and you've opened your wisdom to us that we can walk in and enjoy it, Lord. Thank you for everyone who is here today, Lord. We pray for those who aren't with us. We ask you to give them strength and healing, Lord. And we just want to thank you for what you're doing and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.